Paul Campos is the author of The Obesity Myth, Why America's Obsession with Weight is Hazardous to Your Health. According to Campos, the barrage of reports and studies which claim that fat kills are misleading. He told Steve Paulson that it's all part of a very complex cultural phenomenon.
Once you see how warped the arguments are and how poorly supported they are by the medical literature, which is just extremely ambiguous and complex on this issue, then you have to come up with some explanation for how we got into this really confused and, I think, culturally mixed up situation on this. And the reasons are essentially social and political and economic and have nothing to do with science per se, and everything to do with, I think, three factors which are crucial. One, there's a $50 billion a year weight loss industry in the United States, and it's extremely beneficial to that weight loss industry to exaggerate the health risks associated with higher than average weight to the greatest extent possible, because all of their treatments have side effects, many of them dire. And in order to get such treatments tolerated by the government, it's necessary to have some sort of argument that these side effects are a necessary evil while we pursue this holy grail of weight loss. So that's one factor. But I don't want to overemphasize that factor. It's not as if people are sitting around conspiring on how to exaggerate health risks for the purposes of making money. I do believe there's some of that going on, but for the most part, the people who make this argument are sincere. They're, I think, very neurotic and misguided, but they are sincere in their beliefs. But they, like everybody else, are affected by strong economic motivations. And one of the strange things we have in this culture is this kind of weird belief that doctors and scientists, for the most part, are not subject to the same economic motivations and pressures as everybody else. I think that there's really no basis for believing that. And clearly, part of what's going on here is that there's a lot of money to be made by fomenting fat hysteria, although, of course, the people who are doing that are usually not thinking of it in those terms, either consciously or even necessarily unconsciously.
So that's one factor.
One factor. A second factor, and I think this is really quite critical, is that we live in the United States in a profoundly eating disordered culture. It's simply normal in the United States right now to have a disordered attitude towards food and weight and dieting and body image and weight loss and all of these issues. And one thing that I discovered in speaking to people who were deeply involved in this issue is that very often it was pretty obvious that they themselves had, shall we say, unresolved issues in regard to this whole topic, which they were projecting onto the medical data. So when you would present people with data which seems to contradict their views, they would simply say black is white. So you'd look at a study and the study doesn't really support the argument that weight loss is something that's desirable or that higher than average weight is necessarily a significant health risk, but it simply has to be tortured into that form because I think a lot of these people are working under what is known in the eating disorders literature as anorexic ideation.
Wait, are you saying that people who are advocating weight loss, who are often participating in these studies, have eating disorders themselves?
Well, I want to be careful about this because I want to be clear what I'm saying here. I'm not saying that most obesity researchers are actively eating disordered. After all, it's quite difficult to get diagnosed as having an active eating disorder because we tend to have very, very high, we set the bar, you know, at a very high point before you can be diagnosed as having an eating disorder. Despite the fact that we do that, we still have 8 million people in the United States who are currently diagnosed with eating disorders. Nevertheless, there is an enormous amount of eating disordered ideation. That is what is known as thinking in the same way that a person who is diagnosed as having an active eating disorder thinks among the people who are advocating weight loss as something that is desirable. I do not think that it's a coincidence that when you go to a conference at which all sorts of extreme claims are being made about the obesity epidemic, that a lot of the people who are making these claims are upper-class, high-achieving, perfectionist white women who are both very thin and seem to have a lot of control needs and a sort of pathological fear and loathing of fat. That happens to be the exact social description of people who are at the highest risk for anorexia nervosa and bulimia, and I don't think that that's coincidental. Now, on the other side of this, and here's something which I really do believe ought to be emphasized more, is that when you look at the people who are making these claims, many of them are people who have a body mass index higher than they say is desirable and who at the same time also live healthy lifestyles. So many of the obesity researchers who are claiming that, A, there is a great risk associated with having a BMI of higher than 22 or 25, and B, that if you have a healthy lifestyle, you will have a BMI below 22 or 25, don't themselves, even though they do have quite apparently healthy lifestyles. And so they themselves quite literally embody a contradiction of their own views. So that's a second factor, this kind of eating disordered culture that we live in, and how we have these neurotic attitudes towards weight and how that distorts our thinking on these subjects. The third factor is, I think, a generalized anxiety in American culture right now about overconsumption. I think especially among the elites and the upper classes, there's a lot of anxiety about overconsumption in America, and with good reason. I mean, after all, there is an enormous amount of overconsumption that goes on in the United States, and the higher you are in the class hierarchy, the more likely you are to overconsume. So the irony here is that the one form of overconsumption which appears to be inversely related to class status rather than directly related is caloric consumption. And so basically what you have is a bunch of skinny rich people on one level obsessing about fat poor people and talking about, oh, isn't it terrible that these people are overconsuming so much, even though the skinny rich people are living in 5,000 square foot houses and driving the equivalent of Abrams tanks with a leather upholstery on the inside and engaging in all sorts of egregious overconsumption of a much more socially significant kind than eating, you know, Krispy Kreme donuts or what have you. And yet they focus on this essentially trivial form of social overconsumption, partially as a way of displacing their anxiety about the overconsumption that's taking place in the culture as a whole in much more significant ways than anything that relates to weight.
So you're saying that a lot of these causes for sort of the, I guess what you would call the hysteria about obesity are social in nature rather than medical. And yet, I've always heard that if you weigh too much, you are at greater risk of heart disease and even cancer.
Well, if you actually look at the data on this, it's quite striking. At the very same time that we've had a significant increase in the average body mass of the United States population, we have had an absolutely astonishing decrease in the mortality rate from heart disease and hypertension. So, for example, we would be having 1.1 million more deaths per year from just those two conditions in the United States right now than we actually have if mortality rates from those diseases were the same as they were 30 years ago. Now, that's, of course, not an argument to claim that somehow an increasing body mass of the population is protecting us from overweight and, from heart disease and hypertension, but rather it indicates what a weak correlation there actually is between having a BMI of more than 25 and heart disease and hypertension. There is a correlation, but it's weak. And furthermore, and here I think something quite striking, if you look at people who weight cycle, who lose weight and then regain it again, there is a striking correlation between that kind of weight cycling and congestive heart failure and hypertension. So it may well be that most or all of the excess risk that is somehow blamed on being heavier than average, having to do with, for instance, heart disease and hypertension, is actually a product of the dieting that heavier-than-average people engage in at a much higher rate than people who are thin. So that's part of, you know, the explanation for, I think.
So you're saying the real risk, then, is people who do the yo-yo dieting, who feel like they're too heavy, they go on some diet plan, they do lose weight, but then, I don't know, a half a year later, they put it back on, and then a couple years later, they go through the same thing again. That's the real medical risk.
Yeah, that's the real medical risk, and ironically, that ends up making people heavier than they would be otherwise. There's no question that if you look at people of similar initial weights, the ones who diet in a regular way end up weighing more than the people who never diet. And so what we have here in the United States is the weight loss industry is essentially selling a cure that causes the disease which the cure is supposedly addressing. You know, if P.T. Barnum were alive today, he'd basically say there's a dieter born every minute. It's an immensely profitable kind of pattern, but it's one that's very, very detrimental to people's health. If we really want to improve health in America, the first thing we would do is tell people not to diet.
Not to diet at all.
Absolutely. If there's
eat whatever you want.
By dieting, I mean the following. I mean intentionally restricting your caloric intake and increasing your activity levels for the purposes of reducing your weight. I would say to people, absolutely pay attention to good nutritional practices. If you have an eating disorder, if you engage in binge eating, then that's certainly something that needs to be addressed. And you know, there are some people who weigh more than they otherwise would because they have unhealthy habits such as binge eating and or sedentary lifestyle. But here, I think the key is to focus on those habits, that is to focus on the binge eating, to focus on the sedentary lifestyle, and to find ways to encourage people not to engage in those behaviors rather than focusing on their weight. Because after all, there are a large number of people in America who are thinner than they would be if they had healthy habits as well. And it's far from clear which is the larger medical problem.
So what should we do about what you call the obesity myth?
Well, the first thing we need to do is to recognize it for what it is. And then once we've done that, to the extent that we do that, then I think we ought to focus on what's actually important to health, which is to encourage people of all shapes and sizes to be physically active, to eat a balanced diet of nutritious food, not to engage in eating disordered behavior, including dieting, not to obsess on weight, not to try to conform their bodies to this ridiculous and arbitrary ideal, but rather to have a healthy attitude towards these issues. And, you know, I think that we can't begin to do that until we recognize that many, many people, millions, tens of millions in the United States, will be overweight and obese even if they live perfectly healthy lives. The notion that somehow everyone is going to have a body mass index of below 25 if they have a healthy lifestyle is absolutely as bizarre as the claim that everybody will be more than 6 feet tall if they have a healthy lifestyle. There's absolutely no basis for believing that's true. And it's just a sign of the ideological distortion that surrounds this issue that such a frankly crazy idea could ever be made an implicit part of American public health policy, and sometimes even an explicit part, because sometimes people will actually come right out and claim this. They'll say, there would be no fat people. And remember, I'm a fat person, according to these descriptions. And George W. Bush is a fat person, and Brad Pitt is a fat person. There would be no fat people like George W. Bush and Brad Pitt and Paul Campos if we all had a healthy attitude towards, if we all had a healthy lifestyle. And that's just wacky. I think if we recognize how wacky that is and instead engage in healthy habits for their own sake rather than for the sake of producing extreme thinness, which of course it will not produce in most people, then I think we would be healthier, we would be happier. And here's the final irony. I think we would actually also be a little bit thinner as a culture.
Paul Campos, he's the author of The Obesity Myth, Why America's Obsession with Weight is Hazardous to Your Health. He spoke with Steve Paulson.